You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 31st of December. Happy New Year's Eve. Rudy Gobert, a great week, and more retrospective on Oklahoma City. Plus, big matchups with the Suns and the Clippers. We'll look at all of it coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Give you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan each and every day. Hope you are planning a safe New Year's Eve. Ring in 2021 with high hopes. I heard a great line. 2021 has the easiest job of anyone ever following 2020. It's probably true. Interesting little moment yesterday in NBA history. Greg Popovich got ejected. Becky Hammon took over the reins as the coach of the Spurs. DeMar DeRozan with a lot of really nice comments about she's been here for 7 years. She knows the game. She played. And really, you know, it is time for us to become pretty clear on that. There's absolutely nothing about being a head coach in the men's NBA game that is exclusive to men. I've always thought the craziest one is the lack of front office women that really, truly, like traveling to a city and scouting a game has some gender advantage one way or the other. When you look at front offices and they're 98% one direction, it's only just because the ceiling has not been raised in those categories. So that was a moment last night. I don't know if Becky Hammon's going to be the one that breaks through, but there's enough women now getting assistant coaching jobs. I do think it's going to take a while. There's going to be someone who's, you know, being the first to make that major step is hard. Anytime you're hiring and you're excluding entire populations, you're not getting the best possible candidates for the job. And so it will be, I think the day's heading that direction. I think it's more that you'll see more and more assistant coaches. You know, Quinn's been on the cutting edge with European coaches. That's always been one that I've always thought was another one. Frankly, I've always kind of thought the Moneyball of coaching, and Moneyball, if you read it, is really finding an area where there's a market inefficiency and taking advantage of it. In coaching, there's three market inefficiencies. There's women, there's European coaches, and there's generally African-American men who have not played, are not, you know, if you're trying to break in and you're an African-American who hasn't played, it's generally harder to break in than if you're a white male who hasn't played. So there's a market inefficiency there. So it'll be, you know, big moment, and hopefully more to come. I talked about it on Locked On NBA today with Ben Golliver. We dug in a little bit more along with that. Was just a really fun show. So if you're looking for something after this or instead of this, Locked On NBA. We talked about Rudy all week long with screen assists and just his value, and just seeing them play again, I think, gave us a reminder of how great he is. And frankly, Donovan hasn't clicked in yet, and Boyan hadn't clicked in until the second half. So, and Mike Conley's been brilliant. We've talked a lot about him. I thought there was, you know, the aspect of returning to Oklahoma City and playing there again. I thought Rudy got over most of that with the bubble. He hits the free throws against Oklahoma City in the bubble, but there was the whole aspect of returning. And as always, Quinn kind of has the quote of the day. He said, Rudy was vilified, and in hindsight, we have a greater understanding of the virus. I think that Rudy recognizes that there were some mistakes. And they were mistakes that were made over and over by different people, by all of us. Rudy was just generally the first. I added that. For the moment, it was such a significant thing. In the case of Rudy, he has had to process it. We always challenge ourselves that when we have adversity to make you better. And I think Rudy has come out of this in a place where there's growth, not just for Rudy, but for all of us. Time will tell, obviously, but it does feel as though I think trauma is the right word for it, that Rudy went through, one, the fear of testing positive, being positive, and he had the symptoms. I mean, he really went through it. and the fact that he was the first, and at that time it was as though, you know, he had endangered everyone and been terribly careless and really, you know, I think as Quinn said, was vilified. So he went through that. He also went through the Donovan issue, in which Rudy really is the one who came out and kind of talked about himself, saying, I'm not particularly close with people. And also, just if you watch the Rudy Lisa Salters piece on ESPN, Rudy talking about the phone, trying to, you know, testing, seeing the doctor run out of the floor is how he kind of figured out he was positive. He hadn't been called yet because everyone was finding out at the exact same moment in the 30 for 30 piece. And then, you know, trying to reach his mom in France, who's asleep, and calling every 30 minutes. I mean, there's a really, you know, Rudy's got to feel pretty indestructible as a young man with the success he's had and what he's been able to achieve. And now all of a sudden, here's Rudy, you know, desperately trying to call home to his mom, who he's, I think we all are aware, is crazy close with, and finding out what, you know, having the exact opposite emotion of being indestructible, being as vulnerable as you possibly can and scared and by yourself and in Oklahoma City, and then watching, you know, whether it's the death threats or just all of the things that are taking place and the stories and finding out your teammates are mad at you. And, you know, it's, you know, that to go through that, you know, these guys on the floor look to us as though they're not human because they're so massive and they're so incredible and they achieve such greatness. We forget that they actually have all the same emotions and feelings that we have. And I think I do think we're seeing a different Rudy as a person, as well as some just incredible maturity and growth. And then you add in, you know, overcoming it, and then you add in the contract. And maybe there is a level of appreciation that's higher. Like, that's a weird, I pause there because I'm not sure what word I want to put on it, because there's an, I don't think Rudy's playing harder. He's always played crazy hard. I just think he might be in a better spot in natural growth as a person. I mean, I'm sitting here at 50, and if I look back at who I was at 23 and who I was at 28 and 29 and who I was at 35 and who I am today, hopefully there's been growth. And so we're watching that Rudy growth right before our eyes. You know, he's in a good place. He's been through a lot. He has come out the other side of it. He's come out of the other side of it with a life-changing contract. People have stood by him when I think he felt as though there weren't many people standing by him. I think he and Donovan are in a better place. And I think we're seeing a better Rudy. We've talked about it all week long, and it's probably important to kind of wrap it on that. All right, we'll look at the Clippers and the Suns coming up and what they bring to the week. Wow, our new sports gambling show, Locked On Bets, is on fire. He nailed the Oklahoma game last night. I think he's won now in 9 of the last 10 days. So some pretty great work. It's absurd. Fun show, 10 to 15 minutes every day. It is brought to you by our friends at BetOnline.ag. Bowl game weekend, NFL weekend, lots of different things taking place for you. To get in the action, and we tell you that the place where we do it is betonline.ag. And with the promo code Locked On, you get a 50% welcome bonus. That's right. You get a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code Locked On. You get a 50% welcome bonus. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code Locked On. 50% welcome bonus. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. And visit our friends and exclusive partner at BetOnline_AG on Twitter. That's at BetOnline_AG to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account. Use the promo code Locked On and get your sign up bonus. BetOnline.AG. And the podcast is Locked On Bets. Jazz have two matchups. They're pretty interesting. It's the Phoenix Suns and the LA Clippers before a mammoth road trip. These are big ones. Actually, you know what? In a 72-game schedule, they're all a little bit more important. Phoenix comes in at 3-1. It's early for these kind of things, but just to get a kind of idea of how they're playing, there's some interesting little notes to what they're doing, and then there's some matchup things that we'll keep an eye on. So they're the ninth best offense right now, and they're the third best defense right now. Interestingly, we're ranked exactly the same in the early going as we were at this point, or that we finished last year. We actually have now slipped. We were 10th and 11th and 12th. Yesterday, they flipped. We're now 12th and 11th. Last year, we were 10th and 11th. Offensively, we were 10th in differential. That's exactly where we were. Phoenix right now is the number one differential team in the NBA. So after last night's action, they're the ninth best offense. They're now the second best defense. They're the number one differential team so far in the league. So we're playing the team that's playing the best, and they're doing it differently than we would probably have thought or anticipated. And what that is I think we would have thought they would have been Chris Paul, very, very Chris Paul, very, very Devin Booker dominant, and they're not. If you actually look at them on the opening night when they lose, Booker has 22. Or no, opening night they beat Dallas 106-102. They had 22, but Bridges had 18. Then they're lost to Sacramento. That's the one night where they were Booker, Paul dominant. Booker had 26, Paul had 22. But since then, you know, in the Kings, the win over the Kings, Bridges had 22, Cam Johnson had 21. Yesterday, or yeah, 2 days ago, Jay Crowder had 21, Cam Johnson had 18. They've won the last two with these massive second and third quarters. They outscored the Pelicans 35-15 in the second, and then 34-17 in the third to blow the Pelicans out. They beat the Kings on one of these new NBA back-to-backs where they're playing each day. So what's really interesting about them right now is what they're getting from their depth. Mikal Bridges is shooting, is 54% for the field and 46% from three. Cam Johnson's 51% from the field and 40% from three, both of them averaging 16 points a game. Booker's still leading them at 19, but there's some real depth there to what they're bringing that's different. In regards to the Jazz, you know, so what do we expect to see out of them? How often, you know, how do they match up? So the thing we're watching offensively against teams as they play us right now is we are seeing that teams, they'll do their regular pick and roll stuff and try to run that pick and roll, and frankly, they're having a hard time having any success with that in the handoff, and they end up going into this kind of one-on-one attack game. The game so far for Phoenix has been almost entirely spot up off action. So they're in transition a lot. They're in transition about 16% of the time, but they're not actually, the pick and roll ball handler is Chris Paul, and he's been distributing. And or Devin Booker. Chris Paul's actually not starting very well. And they're not, and Booker and Ayton have never had a very good vibe on the pick and roll before together. So they've become this kind of spot up team where they are kind of doing, they're driving, they're getting in the lane, they're kicking out, they're getting early opportunities in transition on threes, and then they'll run a decent amount of isolation when they need to. They're not a bad matchup for us when Ayton's on the floor because he will leave Rudy at the rim for most of that circumstance. Now, you know, they play the pick and roll and Rudy drops and Chris Paul snakes underneath and takes that mid-range jumper, which ironically enough, so far this year, Chris Paul's not actually making. So I'm sure he will start because we've seen him make a million of them in his career against us, but maybe at 35 and a half years old, we're beginning to see him fade a little bit. I don't know. But if you look at him right now, he's kind of at his regular 48%, but he's not getting to the rim. And when he is getting the rim, he's not finishing at all. So you can crowd him maybe a little bit more, and he's not hitting his threes yet this year. He has not been the offensive force other than just kind of conducting, running the show, and doing all those things for them this year. They are actually have been worse when he's on the floor than off the floor in Chris Paul, which, you know, frankly, if you're them, you should be a little concerned. They're playing him in three, generally playing him in like three stints too. And so we'll see. What's interesting, going to be an interesting stretch in this game is going to be in the first to second quarter, where they go from DeAndre Ayton just kind of pounding, playing down low, leaving Rudy in the post. They're spread out with Crowder and Bridges and Paul and Booker. And then Monty Williams doing something interesting, at least in the New Orleans game. He subbed all three, Cameron Johnson, Dario Saric, Cameron Payne, in the game. Payne is the one having the most pick and roll success right now for them. But it's interesting because Ayton's out of the game. So what they suddenly do is they go to this kind of five wide spread offense. And Saric is now playing the center. And that's a different game. I was super impressed with Saric in the New Orleans game. Super impressed. He just moved the basketball beautifully. I've always thought of him a little bit more kind of as the guy going to get his shots and do his thing. That was not the case at all in that game. He was moving it. The ball was electric. He was absolutely a facilitator. And he's out at the three-point range, and you have to respect him. And the game swung. They went on a 16-0 run there. And then they bring – here's the interesting thing they do is because Chris Paul's playing in three stints and DeAndre Ayton's playing in three stints, they brought that core group of Saric, Payne, and Cameron Johnson back midway through the second quarter, like right about the six-minute mark of the second quarter. And that's when they blew the Pelicans out on a 19-4 run. And some of that's with Chris Paul and Cameron Payne together. Some of that is just without DeAndre Ayton on the floor. They just, frankly, seem to be better without DeAndre Ayton on the floor. And so those are some key minutes to watch in this game. Now, we talked yesterday about how Rudy is just feasting off second units. So now suddenly Dario Saric has got to figure out how he's guarding Rudy. Now, in one sense, he just pulls Rudy out. On the other sense, he's got to figure out how you're dealing with him on the pick and roll and whether the Jazz can just exploit that. Will be a really interesting thing to watch if the Jazz stay into their same rotation. Against the Sacramento Kings, it's similar. They started that same group, and then they Sarge didn't play. So Kaminsky, Johnson, and Payne all came in at the same time, and then they did the same three stints, and then it was Galloway, Kaminsky, and Payne with Jay Crowder and Devin Booker, Chris Paul out in the middle of the second quarter. But that same stretch, that same Ayton's playing in three stints. Booker's playing in two, so he wraps over. Chris Paul is playing in a different kind of manner, but mostly with Ayton at all times. So it's really interesting work by Monty Williams there and how he's playing his groups. His second unit is this kind of spread group, and it's having a lot of success. It went on a 20-5 run in the third quarter against Sacramento. It went on an 18-5 run in the fourth quarter against Sacramento. It went on two different runs, a 7-0 and a 5-0 run against Sacramento in that 116-110 win, as they've won their last two, the back-to-back with Sacramento and then blowing out the Pelicans. And I think I said this, but like the same thing against the Pelicans, that's where they made their surges, a 14-2 run that wrapped up the game in the third quarter with a second unit on the floor. They kind of went on about a 10-run spurt from the first quarter to the second quarter in that stretch with that second unit on the floor as well. So that'll be the key to kind of watching that ball game is how we do when they have those lineups on the floor tonight, as well as how they, you know, Rudy against that second unit, but a second unit that pulls Rudy out. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, located at 4646 South State Street, also located in Logan and in Linden. The Murdochs have done wonderful work in our community this year with the Utah foster children and getting boots for the kids. Also, for anyone who purchased Kicking Al Sporting Good, now is the time to take advantage of the 0% for 72 months across the board at Murdoch Hyundai. The fabulous Santa Fe, as you know, we have two of them. The Kona is the fun, zippy, small SUV, the Tucson I'm driving right now. And yesterday, driving up Little Cottonwood Canyon, I was right behind a Palisade, and I was envious because it is such a beautiful SUV. So terrifically made with every bell and every whistle, and just one of the nicest cars there is on the market. If you're looking for an electric car, the Kona Electric is hard to find, but it is out there. They also have got themselves the new Sonata, which is just amazing in the Sonads. But check them all out at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. And feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com and let me know you're heading over there so I can take care of you and get you set up with a VIP meeting over at Murdoch Hyundai. Locked On Fantasy Basketball is the number one fantasy basketball show in the land. It is on the iTunes top 20 charts every day. It is killing it. It's a great recap of the night's action as well. So make sure you grab that. Locked On Fantasy Basketball. And I did Locked On NBA today with Ben Golliver. In that show, I talked about how much I love the Clippers. I'm over the moon on the Clippers. They were brilliant last night. They've made a big change. Instead of starting Zubac, they're starting Ibaka. So Patrick Beverley is playing like this pest, but he's not playing a point guard, and he's a not very good point guard, so that's good. Nicholas Batum is now playing their point guard. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard with Serge Ibaka. They're really good. We're on a back end of a back-to-back. I don't know if Faves goes in that back end of a back-to-back. I don't know if Mike Conley goes in that back end of a back-to-back. Be interesting to see what we do and who we play and what where we are. They're not playing again until then, so they're going to be a little bit more rested than we are. They have, you know, their numbers are screwy because they have the 50-point blowout, and they're still the seventh best team in the NBA. I mean, they're 4-1, and they have the 50-point blowout, which is just a crazy concept. And it's a little hard to kind of understand what's going on with their on-off and who's impacting them and all those kind of things. But Nicholas Batum is having a massive, massive impact on this team. He is the facilitator they needed. He is not looking to score. He is looking to set up their guys. They are moving the ball. The Clippers have gone, for me, to one of the most unwatchable teams in the league last year with their stagnant offense and their one-on-one play to one of the most watchable teams in the NBA with Batum and Luke Kennard moving the ball, and even Lou Williams doesn't look like he's chasing possessions anymore the way he did all of last year. And then they're just wildly talented. Ibaka just does so many things for them in how he spreads the floor, opens up driving lanes, makes shots, makes plays. Their starting lineup last night was plus 20 across the board. They just hammered Portland. And Ibaka just, 11 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. Ben Golliver brings it up on Locked On NBA. They don't have Morris right now. They insert Morris into the starting lineup instead of Patrick Beverley, or at least run a lineup of that. And all of a sudden, they're running Nick Batum at 6'9". Kawhi Leonard at 6'8", or 6'7", I think, is his official listing. Paul George at 6'8". Morris at 6'9", and Serge Ibaka at 7 feet. That's insane. That wins an NBA title. The Lakers have got to be the favorite because they were the favorite, but like, this is the best team in the league. And then Zubac, who's good, is now their backup center. Their backup unit, their second unit that's on the floor, you think our second unit is good. They're playing Paul George kind of interestingly in a manner so that Paul George gets a lot of those. He goes out first with Ibaka and gets those second unit minutes. So their second unit right now is Reggie Jackson, who's actually playing pretty well. I'm doubtful on that. That would be the gap on this team. Patrick Patterson, who's playing really only a little, but so really it's Reggie Jackson and Lou Williams with Luke Kennard, who's basically a point guard, Paul George, and Zubac. That's their second unit. This team's great. So that makes, to me, the Phoenix game really big because they're going to come in with rest. We're going to be on the back end of a back-to-back, which does have an impact even if you're at home. And they're just loaded. And they're just moving the ball in a way that they didn't used to do. And which, again, is actually makes it harder for us. Because they actually used to be our best matchup. They would play Montrezl Harrell and Zubac. Rudy would just stay in the middle of the lane. And you would just be able to keep Rudy engaged. Now, they do run about 20% of their offense as the pick and roll ball handler, which is that, which, you know, which is Lou, which is Kawhi, which is Paul George, and Rudy's going to be able to stay involved in that. Now, Baca's going to pop back out in a way they didn't used to have, and so that'll be different. They have not maximized that a great deal. Ibaka's actually getting most of his action off other penetration and kickouts to Ibaka in that fashion, but they're not getting it necessarily on the roll, Ibaka on the roll man. They're occupying people on the roll and then kicking. We'll see if the Jazz can take that away from them a little bit because of Rudy. But again, now that they have Ibaka who can space it out, that just becomes a really different equation than it was last year with Zubac and Harrell. I, you know, you can give me all the stuff about, oh, they had the breakdown last year and they had the team chemistry and maybe all that stuff is going to come to fruition again. But I think they're pretty great. And, you know, Paul George whined and complained inaccurately that that Doc Rivers didn't use him right and he used him like Ray Allen and he wanted to be used in a different way. Well, last year, if you looked at what they were doing with Doc Rivers, Lou Williams ran the most pick and rolls on the team at 34% of the pick and rolls, then Kawhi Leonard at 24, and then Paul George at 14. So 34, 24, 14. And right now, you know, Tyronn Lue has done what Paul George has offered or asked. Paul George is running the most pick and rolls at 34%. Lou Williams is now at 70%. Reggie Jackson, Kawhi Leonard, and Luke Kennard are all in the next group, and that makes them a vastly different team. All right, big weekend of basketball. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great New Year's. Thanks very much for tuning in to Locked On Jazz and making it a 2020 an incredible success. Amazing stuff coming up in 2021. A tip of the hat to all the Locked On Podcast Network because in some ways there couldn't have been a worse sports year, and yet we've had mammoth growth on all accounts and have great things happening in 2021. So appreciate everybody who's tuned in and been a part of this. For all of you who've watched us build this podcast network from the very beginning, thanks so much. This is Locked On Jazz. Have a great New Year's. Be safe. Talk to you on Monday.